Good morning, and welcome to Ask the Pro, a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. Just call 716-433-1433.
Very good. And this morning is Tuesday, July 19th, and this is Ask the Pro, and we are here with Mount St. Mary's very own CJ Erlob, who is the Senior Vice President, Strategic Partnerships, Integration, and Care Delivery, Niagara County, and President of Mount St. Mary's Hospital. Did I get all that right?
Had to read that, right?
I did. I don't have that committed to memory. No.
Neither do I.
And he is joined by our first-time guest here on Ask the Pro. We'd like to give a nice warm welcome to Susan Brooks, who is the Vice President of Patient Care Services at Mount St. Mary's Hospital. Good morning, Susan. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Very good. So, CJ, just first off, let's take the first, half an hour or so, and maybe have you explain your title to us.
Well, Eric, it's always great to be here with you, and I know John's listening in too, so a nice welcome to John as well. That's always the question that I get when somebody looks at my business card or something, like, what the heck does that mean? And I guess simply, the first part of it is about 40% of my time I should be spending on Mount St. Mary's and doing the work of a president, CEO type of a position. But the part of the job that really excites me and interests me is the rest of that title. Well, part of it is strategic partnerships, and that means the work that we've been doing with Eastern Niagara. We have a joint venture cath lab with Niagara Falls, so I'm always working with Joe Ruffalo and his team over there. And we're looking for ways that we can deliver the best care, given the resources that we have, the best care, and making sure that it's the highest quality, the latest care type, delivery to Niagara County. And it's important, as I've learned being up here, that residents of Niagara County want to stay in Niagara County for as much of their care, as long as it's the highest quality, as we can offer. So that's a big part of what I'm doing. The integration part reflects the interest of Catholic Health to recognize Mount St. Mary's, which is a recent addition. It's only like 6 or 7 years that Mount St. Mary's has been part of Catholic Health. So it's important. Part of my role is to be sure that Mount St. Mary's is integrated into the entire complete operation of Catholic Health. So I spend a lot of time working with my partners, and Catholic Health brings a wealth of resources that Mount St. Mary's would never be able to afford by itself. And then the care delivery is really getting care into the neighborhood, our neighborhood hospital, and the uniqueness of how we're going to deliver that care. So I'm not sure you could have told that by the title, but those are the kinds of things I've been working on.
Wow, very impressive. Equally impressive is Susan Brooks, who is the Vice President of Patient Care Services at the hospital. Maybe, Susan, if you could just introduce our listeners to some of your background and what your role is at the hospital in a hands-on kind of way.
Absolutely. So I've been a nurse for a little over 28 years. Big background in a variety of areas. So as a bedside nurse, I worked in the med-surg areas, critical care, emergency, maternal services. Most of my career has been in leadership positions, and I've just been so fortunate. I do want to add, too, that I'm born and raised in Lockport, so the opening of the new Lockport Hospital is just very near and dear to my heart. And I will share with you a personal piece. When I was 6 years old, I was diagnosed at Lockport Hospital with type 1 diabetes. And 45 years later, being able to open up the new Lockport Hospital with CJ and Catholic Health is just really a touching thing for me to be able to do, because they served me so well for so many years. And this community feel of Lockport Hospital just has a near and a very dear place in my heart. So being a nurse for this many years, you know, in mostly leadership positions, like I said, I've been across all types of care delivery, from pediatrics to critical care. I also spent some time in my career working for the insurance industry. So I really learned a lot about healthcare and how it works in our country. There are a lot of oversight regulatory agencies, and I was able to learn by working in those arenas so much about healthcare. And my hope is to bring to Lockport and Mount St. Mary's just a better care delivery model, especially with where healthcare is moving and because it's moving so fast.
It's got to be interesting after 28 years of being in the field to see people staying 5, 6, 7 days after a procedure. With today's technology, they're out in 5, 6, 7 hours, right?
You got it. Yeah, so it's pretty amazing.
How has that changed your perspective on how you have to administer care to folks?
Well, and I'll apply it back to when I was diagnosed. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. It was a good portion of my summer as a 6-year-old. And now we don't even admit type 1 diabetics for diagnosis and treatment plans. It has a huge impact. So, you know, specializing in the orthopedic realm, also a couple of years back, CMS, Oversight Regulatory Agency for Healthcare in the United States, looked at getting our joint replacements, hips, knees, out of the hospital the same day. Now, with that being said, it's not just that we're looking at getting people out faster. We've been able to change the approaches of how we do those surgical procedures. So there's reasoning behind moving patients out. And I know that that can be uncomfortable for some patients and families, saying, you know, you're moving my loved one too quick out of the system. But we know that it's the safest route in the pathway for the patient. So it's definitely changed over the past four decades. So it is interesting to see. And that's part of what I do as the vice president of patient care, is develop those plans on how to move patients through as quickly as we should, but also as safely as we should be doing.
That brings up an interesting thought of from the patient's mindset. You know, getting a guy my age, we're used to being in the hospital for a few days. You know, the patient's mindset is, well, I should be there for 3 or 4 days, and our mindset has not caught up with the technology yet. And so I'm sure you have your hands full when you have to explain to families that it's not necessary anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's the hardest part of healthcare right now, is the communication. You know, a lot of nursing staff and even physicians don't understand some of this movement and the pathways that we have to take for patients right now. So it does become challenging, but it is on us as nurses to be able to explain that to the patients, and not only the patients, but the families as well, to make them comfortable. And it's about resourcing, too. So when we send them home or to the next level of care, it's about doing it safely and providing them with the resources that they will need, dependent on their disease process.
Very good. CJ, did you want to add to that? I saw your eyes light up
A
little bit.
Well, I just wanted to say that I'm so fortunate. Mount St. Mary's is so lucky to have a person like Susan as our chief nursing officer, because she's a nurse's nurse. She's been at the bedside. She understands how difficult that job is, but also has very high expectations on quality, customer service, patient satisfaction, and her varied experiences, as she described to you, I think will work out really well for us. I'm particularly excited about her experiences with stroke. Do you want to mention that kind of background you have and what we're trying to do at Mount St. Mary's with our stroke program?
Yeah, please do. I actually started as the nurse manager of the stroke program at Gates Hospital, which is no longer, and moved, closed down that hospital, and was part of the team that opened up the new GVI, and I eventually became the director of the stroke program there. And that was just, again, from a different perspective of work and responsibilities as project managing that. again, just gave me more opportunity to learn about healthcare and stroke in particular. I do remember when I was a nurse at Strong Hospital and I was on the code team for a night shift and I responded to the stroke floor for the code. And I remember telling myself then, this was probably, I think it was in 1999, I will never work stroke. It's the hardest body system. but you have to keep pushing yourself to feel comfortable being uncomfortable. So that was something for me that was a huge leap for me. But again, gained great experience on the treatment and process of treatment for such a vital need in our community. And I am able to bring that to Mount St. Mary's too. So that's it's great experience that I can bring to Mount St. Mary's and Lockport.
That's really wonderful that you can bring that to the table. As our population is aging and our dietary habits are worsening, are you seeing an uptick in stroke patients over the last, is there a trend?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an upward trend. And the great thing is that, you know, coupled with that increase in the need, our services in this area are just becoming so much better. Mount St. Mary's is a stroke designated hospital, but we have South Buffalo Mercy as our comprehensive designated hospital in Catholic Health. And I know CJ's going to talk a little bit coming up about the helipad and how that really benefits our patients in getting them timely treatment.
You know, I always like to talk about that, Eric.
Absolutely. It's saved a couple of lives here recently, hasn't it? Between the one here in Lockport and the one at Mount St. Mary's. You know, I don't care if we jump ahead a little bit, if you want to jump ahead and talk about that, or we could just talk about some of the basic services first that you have at the main healthcare services at the main campus.
Well, Eric, let me touch on that, because Mount St. Mary's, I think, is in a unique position. Hospitals used to be full service, but with the specialization that's occurred and the paucity of specialists, it's very difficult to find a lot of these specialists. Many of the hospitals had to discontinue being a full-service hospital. So when I look at Mount St. Mary's, it's still a pretty significant, very complicated hospital that offers a lot of services. And we're able to do that, though, because we're part of an integrated health system with Catholic Health. But Mount St. Mary's in and of itself is an integrated system. So we have the basics, you know, medical inpatient, surgical inpatient. Big component of Mount St. Mary's is our chemical dependency rehab program, as you know, and we've talked about that before. But we also have a sizable emergency department. And then all the things that support that, like imaging and laboratory and pharmacy, you know, that's all full service there at Mount St. Mary's. And then when we need, like, complicated laboratory testing, we can utilize Catholic Health as well. Imaging, you know, we're so fortunate, again, being part of Catholic Health, they support us in our capital requests. But we have 3D mammography, which is the latest and greatest approach for mammography. We have an MRI right in the hospital, the only one in Niagara County with that. We're getting we just got approved for a new CT scanner. And actually, I think, I'm trying to think if we're getting two or just one when we are buying the new scanner for Lockport Memorial. We'll be able to get that at Mount St. Mary's. And it's going to have a new package on it, which will allow us to do some cardiac imaging. Which I think only Mercy can do at this point. And then you've got the full host of perioperative services. Then the OR, we've got the robot that we talked about before. We've got a lithotripsy unit to take out stones. GI, we're starting to expand our infusion program so we can handle some cancer treatment. Our women's program is awesome. You know, if you ever get the opportunity to go over there, we've got our inpatient unit connected with the outpatient unit. Just a really wonderful area. And then, really, we subspecialize with all of those components. We subspecialize around stroke, and can talk for hours on our stroke advancements. But that's in the hospital. Do you want me to cover some of the stuff that's on the outpatient side?
I would, but first off, I have to just announce that you folks are listening to Ask the Pro, and we have some guests here from Mount St. Mary's. We have C.J. Erlob, who is a Senior Vice President, Strategic Partnership, Integration and Care Delivery, Niagara County, and President of Mount St. Mary's Hospital. And his guest is Susan Brooks, who is the Vice President of Patient Care Services, also at Mount St. Mary's. If you have any questions or comments or would like to join the conversation, certainly feel free to call us at 433-1433. Yeah, so we were just about to get into the off-campus services, which there's plenty of those as well. So let's talk about those for a minute.
There really are, and I think that that's the thing that can help distinguish Mount St. Mary's. We're not just, well, you got to get to that one hospital and everything is on a campus. There's a lot on that campus, and it's very convenient, parking outside and all. But we also try to move some of the specialists out into the community, or if they're on the campus, you don't have to come into the main hospital to find it. So you know how I was saying before, it's so difficult to get specialists? Mount St. Mary's is blessed with all of the specialists that we have, cardiac, primary care. We even have an endocrinologist. That was a huge advance for us. We have multiple neurologists. We even have outpatient psych. We've got an awesome physical therapy program, you know, after surgery or after a stroke or an injury. People recover through physical therapy. It happened with me. I was blessed to get great physical therapy for a back issue I had. They're incredible. And then, you know, I don't want to miss that we've also got a wound care center, which has dive chambers, basically oxygen chambers, that help with the healing process. And I would be remiss if I didn't say something about our 9th Street Clinic, our neighborhood health center. It delivers really needed primary care and specialty care services in the community in Niagara Falls. We also are fortunate. We've got an ENT, three actually, ENT surgeons. You know, I keep looking at the scope of services we have. It's just incredible. And then, you know, they're not specifically part of Catholic Health or Mount St. Mary's, but it all happens with our EMS partners, and we spend a lot of time trying to work that relationship, make sure that they understand that they really are our partners as well, and we serve the community together.
I see. So there's availability for these different specialists that go around to different hospitals and share their specialties.
That's exactly what we're doing.
The hospitals. That makes sense.
With Eastern Niagara currently, mm-hmm. our surgeons, our neurologists, they also provide those services at Eastern Niagara. We have a primary care office in Lockport, so we are able to do that as well. So that's something that's going to be big in the new hospital, which I hope we have some time to talk about later. But, that's a big component, all these specialists bringing them to Niagara County.
That segues us well into, you know, with all these great physicians that I've had the pleasure of interviewing on this show in the last year.
Yeah.
It's been a great experience for me. I've learned a lot about doctoring in on this show. Excuse me. But looking at the services that you've named, where are we seeing the most growth at this point?
I'm pleased to say women's services, OBGYN, we're seeing growth. We're seeing growth, and we're making some investments in our infusion and our cancer care. We're working on a new room in the hospital for that. That'll make it a little bit more convenient. Our stroke and our neurology, and supported by our technology, is growing significantly. We are the destination for stroke in Niagara County, absolutely, hands down.
And we have a helipad.
And we've got the helipad, too. I always love to talk about that. And I think you're going to see, just because the need is so great, endocrinology, it is unusual for a hospital our size to have an endocrinologist, and their opportunity for Niagara County to receive those services. We're going to see that grow. There's also a cardiac. I think you'll see that grow. And then primary care, we have some physicians that have retired particularly in the eastern Niagara region. And I'm not saying that there's growth in the overall, but we're going to have to go out and recruit some primary care physicians to serve this community. And that's a big focus of Ann McCaffrey's and mine.
Right. All right. Well, Susan, not to leave you out of this conversation, just from a nursing perspective, how have things changed since we went through this pandemic here the last couple of years?
So back to nursing and oversight regulatory agencies. We have them in nursing as well. You know, before the pandemic, we get graded, as we should, on certain metrics, you know, certain quality metrics, patient experience metrics. When the pandemic hit, those oversight regulatory agencies did allow us to move to a disaster management program. So while we work for years trying to develop these emergency management programs with our departments at the hospitals, never thought that we would actually have to put it into motion, but we did. So some of the care, what disaster management is about is having more patients and higher acuity patients than you can manage. And that's where the hospitals across the nation, really across the world, had to move to this disaster management. So doing that for 2 years, you know, some of those regulations were not being looked at in those metrics as heavy as we once used to. Now we are back into rebuilding nursing teams. I just have to a huge shout out to Mount St. Mary's nurses that have remained with us through the past 2 years, because while it may not be seen by outside people, it was traumatic for nurses to be at the bedside and physicians to be at the bedside. And it's come in different waves. And what that meant for us in the hospital was constantly changing how we were doing things. So when the pandemic first hit, we were, you know, we would close off an entire unit or an entire hospital and be able to walk around with PPE on in between rooms. Then it came to lesser variants, you know, still high census, a lot of patients coming in sick, but they also had other reasons for coming in. It wasn't just COVID. And so nurses and physicians had to change their thinking back to not just caring for COVID. And I'll tell you, that was a difficult transition because everyone was so focused on it. No matter where you went, it was everywhere. And then we got to a point where it was just per patient room. So we opened up hospital units again, and particularly the fifth floor at Mount St. Mary's Hospital, where we now have patients that have COVID, but they're isolated in a room now. Now, imagine that for a nurse who has to put on all of that PPE to go in to take care of this patient that he or she has for the shift. And then they have four other patients that are not COVID. So putting that PPE on, going in, doing your care, coming out, cleaning the equipment, going into your other patient rooms, you know, it's an on again, off again. And that really creates a lot of additional work for a nurse. So the work in itself has dramatically changed. Even coming out of COVID, we know that the strains are not as potent anymore. We know that the numbers are not where they were. But the nurses still have to care for those patients within their assignments. And so the workflows have changed. And it's a matter of trying to organize care now. It's become even more important to organize care for a nurse. And that becomes extremely exhausting. And again, I just need to shout out to those nurses who remain with us through all of this. They are our true heroes at Mount St. Mary's Hospital. And we couldn't be doing what we are doing right now because a lot of nurses left during the pandemic. And you can understand that perspective as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when we attribute the loss of the nurses during the pandemic, I hear different things. You know, they're fearful for their own health and their family's health when they get home. Some were maybe not so interested in getting vaccinated. And there was quite a few people that exodus from that. And so as we are now trying to recruit new nurses. How are you going to go about that? Have you laxed the vaccine mandate, or are you just getting kids fresh out of school, or you're trying to get some of the nurses that maybe have left to come back? Are you incentivizing them to come back in any way?
Yeah, so let me start with your point about not having nurses. So some did choose to leave the profession. We do have some that decided to have a career change and come into the profession. Not enough, though. Where it has been stemming from for the past couple of years, and it's really hitting us hard right now, is we do have an aging population. We have nurses that are reaching retirement, so we're another loss. But based on the output of nurses from nursing schools, part of the issue is that there are not enough instructors and professors to teach nursing, so the enrollment numbers are down in our schools of nursing. So what we are putting out of our schools of nursing in this area, really worldwide, is not enough for this aging population. You touched on the vaccinations. We are required by New York State to have our nurses have to be vaccinated to work in our hospital setting. There are some states that don't have that mandate, and those nurses that chose not to get the vaccination left the state. I'm indifferent because I understand both sides of the coin, but it is putting us at a bit of a shortage right now. So that definitely has had an impact.
For sure. No question about that. It's a conundrum. It's just amazing because we don't have enough professors to teach the nurses and students that we have. We have student nurses that are willing to go into the program, but there's not enough room for them. The other nurses are our age and they're starting to retire or leave for whatever reason. I can see where, you know, recruitment is going to be a challenge, but you're up for it because you guys are all pros.
And Catholic Health is really thinking outside the box. So some of the efforts, good example is a couple of weeks ago, we had, we are offering sign-on bonuses, pretty significant amounts of money, up to up to $30,000 for nurses to sign on. We had an event at Riverworks to assist in obtaining some nurses where typically, when we would interview a nurse, the interviewing process could take up to 50, 60 days to get that nurse applied and then, you know, interviewed with the various people, and then the offers go out. So Catholic Health is looking very differently and changing that. At the Riverworks, we were actually hiring on the spot, and it was a pretty neat concept because we had a team of nurse leaders who sat with recruiters to interview folks. And we had specific interview questions. We know what type of personality we want for our culture at Catholic Health. And so these nurse leaders were able to interview folks and move them through a very good pathway that we had set up at Riverworks to then offer certain individuals that met that criteria. So it was a really out-of-the-box thinking. I had some of the candidates that I interviewed told me, hey, you know, I saw it on Facebook, or I actually heard about this event this afternoon when I was, you know, riding around in my car. So my husband dropped me off. So we're hoping, we actually have one coming up for Mount St. Mary's specifically. It'll be held at the Brickyard on July 27th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And again, we're offering those same bonuses, up to $30,000 sign-on bonuses for nurses. We have a bunch of specialties, anything from maternal services to emergency, critical care, med-surg, peri-op. We're offering these bonuses to just about any type of nurse. So if you are looking for a career change and really being a great part of our building of Mount St. Mary's Hospital, now is an absolutely great time to join and to get some additional money out of it.
Very good. Well said.
Oh, thank you.
See, I told you we were lucky to have her.
You are absolutely correct on that. Holy smokes, she is on her game. All right, well, that segues into, you know, still in the nursing conversation. about what's going on in the emergency rooms. You said you have specialty nursing things. What's the most common thing? What are we seeing? What are the trends in the emergency room these days?
So we still continue to see COVID coming in. And, it's like I had mentioned before, it's a different variant. So it's not as potent as it once was. So we do get people coming in. We provide them some treatments. And a lot of patients we are able to send home right from the emergency department. But if they do need to be, just observed for a short amount of time, we do have observation beds where they can stay for 24 hours where our physicians and nurses can monitor them and then send them home safely. Or we do still admit some of them that are a little bit more high acuity if they have different disease processes going on. Of course, because it's summer, we always see our traumas. We see a lot of broken bones and sprains and skin tears and cuts. And we see a lot of pediatrics coming in. They were hurt on the playground.
Sure.
So it's that time of year. We see a variety of pain, people that have chronic conditions of back pain or just any other types of pain will come in. Chest pains, and CJ had mentioned our cardiac program. Wonderful, physicians in that specialty, and also, neurology. We any type of symptom from headaches to confusion to slurred speech. And I just have to, again, point out as a nurse with a specialty in both cardiac and neuro background, if you're experiencing chest pain or any neurological symptoms, just get to the hospital. Call 911 as soon as you can because our treatment options are time-based. And the faster that you call and get to us, we can help you.
Very good. Wow. There's some dedication right there. So, CJ, back to you for just a minute here. You recently introduced that new surgical robot in your operating room. How's that going? Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, it's going great. We are so fortunate to be able to upgrade that. Remember, we got the original one from Eastern Niagara when
right.
they closed their operating capabilities there. We had the option to be able to purchase that. Ann and I worked a deal, and we were able to get that over to Mount St. Mary's. And that was really driven in big part by Dr. Hodge, who's part of Lockport community and all. He was experienced on the robot. So as Mount St. Mary's got the robot, we learned on the previous one, and now with this new one, it has added capabilities. It's got this awesome 3D vision upgrade to it as well. So we've gotten a number of physicians that are in the process of getting comfortable with the robot because Mount St. Mary's didn't have one for a long time. And I think that's the area. You look at or you talk with some of the new doctors that are getting out of their training programs. They've already been experienced on the robot. But
sure.
Catholic Health wants to make sure, absolutely sure, they set the bar really high. We've got to make sure that the doctors can show their proficiency with the robot. So even after they've had that extensive training, we have them go through a fairly sophisticated and time-consuming but necessary process to have them work with a preceptor, somebody that really knows
right.
and has a lot of experience with the robot. The good thing is, though, that this robot allows our experienced physicians and surgeons, but also the new surgeons, an opportunity to perform the surgery quicker, which means less anesthesia, faster recovery because it's more precise. They're able to magnify. The visualization is much more accurate. They can get in there with the optics and actually see what's going on, where they're making the cuts and all. And it just makes for a better patient experience. And the doctors have learned over time. When it first came out, it was really time-consuming. And OR time is very expensive. The doctors have really perfected the use of this tool, and now it's comparable to a laparoscopic or, they do through the scopes.
Sure.
Which we still do at Mount St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
But the robot adds just this added dimension. And a lot of these new doctors that we talk to, that they fully intend to have this as part of their practice. It's kind of the standard now.
Sure, sure. And what is the most common use for the robotic surgeries?
Well, we're excited about some of the work that's being done in the obstetrical area or GYN area. I would say gallbladders are a big piece of it. The urologists are also utilizing it for prostatectomies, some of the work that they do. So it's pretty varied. You know, when the robot first came out, it was primarily urologic, but the general surgeons are really using it a lot, and I think we're going to see a lot more with urology as well.
Very good. You feel up to taking a phone call?
Sure.
All right.
As long as it's for Susan.
Might be for a used ATV. You never know. Hey, good morning. You are on WLVLS The Pro with CJ Urlop. And
okay, got a couple of questions for you. Number one, I was to my family doctor not too long ago. Is it true that our family doctors are not allowed to come into the hospital to take care of us?
Yes, actually, that is true. Hospitals have changed over the years, and when the pandemic hit, the hospitals had invested, prior to the pandemic, had invested in hospitalists, and those physicians are really trained to work in the hospital. They're familiar with the nurses are familiar with them, they're familiar with the protocols, and they're in the hospital 24/7, not the same person, obviously, but that team is there and immediately available for the patient. What we've seen is actually better care, a reduced length of stay. There is an advantage, I will admit, that the primary care physician, your own doctor, knows you and your history and your family history, but there's communication between the hospitalists and the primary care physician. And it's really,
all right, I want to ask you, I got something else. Keep hearing this word hospitalist. Mm-hmm. Are they equivalent to a doctor, or are they somebody that just don't make it as a doctor?
Oh, no way. They are, if you look at the DO programs versus the
MD
programs, I get confused with the allopathic and osteopathic. But the DO programs, they, for the most part, are training primary care physicians going into practice, and the very same training programs are creating the hospitalists and the emergency department physicians. They tend to gravitate that way. That's what I've seen. The MD programs end up gravitating to some of the more subspecialized areas. I think it might have to do with some of their requirements for research, but the programs are sort of lined up that way. So really, it's very, very similar training. I think it's actually the same training that you'd get for a primary care physician, a hospitalist, or an emergency department physician.
I don't know. I'd rather be taken care of somebody that knows me, not by somebody that didn't make it as a doctor. That's, you know, so, and I'm not doing this to be an argument, because I really wanted to know what a hospitalist was. I've heard that term so much that it sounded to me like it was somebody that just didn't make it as a doctor.
And I appreciate you questioning that. If you can think of it, though, so the hospitalist is a specialist that is trained in acute episodic care that primary care physicians are not necessarily trained in that. So if you can look at it more like a specialist for an acute episode that you're having that puts you in the hospital, this is what they are trained for.
I still trust my primary physician more than I would trust somebody I don't know.
Sure, and I get that.
Okay, so, I mean, that's that. Now, Lockport, the surgical on Transit Road, is that staying?
Yes.
That is staying.
Mm-hmm.
What about the satellite station over in Davison on Davison Road? Is that staying?
The one on
Davison Corridor,
yeah, or Robinson. Is that the one? Yeah. Well, that area, there are so many patients that want to go to those physicians that that's going to be a huge component of the new hospital on the campus. There will be a very large primary care and specialty care physician office that's connected. It's just on one side of the hospital and the ER is on the other side.
No. What I meant was they had one over there. They had an MRI. You could go there, get a blood test. You could go there for X-ray, different things. Is that going to stay? Is it gone or what?
So that part of ENH has closed, and there is no intent from ENH opening that.
So you're going to keep moving things further and further away from us.
Well, no. So some of those services that were offered there, they haven't been there for a little bit now. I'm not sure of the time frame, but those are services that we will offer at this new Lockport Hospital with, CAT scan, some of those radiology outpatient procedures we will offer at the new Lockport Hospital.
Okay. See, I'm kind of like one of those old guys that's set in his ways. I go to Lockport Hospital to get my blood work and stuff like that because it's close and it's convenient. Now you're just making me go a whole heck of a lot further than what I have to go. And I don't drive, so it makes a difference, too. I just don't like the idea that it's moving. I don't like the change,
yeah.
I guess, is what it is.
And I think that's going to be a challenge for us. The reality, though, is that the model of hospitals has changed because of the technology and the paucity of specialists. And the location that we've chosen for the new hospital is really in the center of where the population is growing. There's way more people that are going to be closer to that than the existing hospital. So, and we'll have all those services. You mentioned MRI. We're going to have blood draw there. I think it will be a good experience. I hope you have the opportunity to try it.
You just got to remember, some people just don't drive, and they got to worry about how they're going to get back and forth there, and taxi cabs are not cheap.
Yeah. It's funny. My father's 95 years old, and we've got him using Uber down in Florida. So, not a plug for Uber, but you might want to give that a try.
Well, you got Uber around here, too, but it's still expensive, especially when the gas prices went up, everything, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And does this hospital accept Medicare?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so Medicare, and if you have the rider that goes with it, like United Healthcare and stuff like that.
Yes, we
all
do.
All accepted.
Yep.
All your hospitalists accept it, too,
yes.
Right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Very good. Well, listen, thank you, caller, so much. Those were some really good talking points.
Yeah, okay.
And we
thanks
appreciate you calling.
Yeah,
so
thank
much.
You.
Very good. Wow, that's interesting stuff. That goes back to the perspective of the older patients that we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Absolutely.
Where there is a certain mindset that, habits don't change easily, especially when it's been, decades in the making of these habits.
Well, and then, fortunately, people, for the most part, don't have to access the health care services on a regular basis.
Right.
So experiences like Susan had when she was six and being in the hospital for 3 weeks, that just doesn't happen anymore at all. There's been such enormous advances
Absolutely.
In technology and treatment. And we've also learned the treatment is better, even though it's faster. It actually is better.
Right. Sure. It's more accurate. It's more concise. All right. We've only got a few minutes left here. Boy, this time is going quick. You want to talk about the helipad a little bit?
I always love to talk about that.
And we should talk about some of the awards that this hospital has received.
Yes, we got to save time for that. So I'll be real quick on the helipad. I know it saved lives. It's helped people avoid really significant untoward stroke events. But you got to remember, it's not meant to transfer all stroke patients out.
No.
We're able at Mount St. Mary's with the technology and the doctors we have to take care of about 70% of the patients
right.
that come in with stroke. It is there for those select patients that have to get to a tertiary center like Mercy and have the clot removed.
Right.
And it has already been utilized a number of times. It's a great addition. Eastern Niagara just had one put into their parking lot. And the new Lockport Hospital will have a helipad as well. So that quick care will be available to all of Niagara County.
That's just amazing. That's wonderful stuff. Real quick, let's boast for a minute. You are in a position. You should boast for a minute. Tell me about some of these awards you've been picking up.
Well, we're so pleased about this. The work that we've been doing around stroke, the American Heart and American Stroke Association has awarded us three awards for our care. And what American Stroke Association does is they get specialists together. They determine the best way to care for patients. And then the American Heart, American Stroke Association looks at our hospitals, looks at all the care that we provide, and rates us basically on whether we're following the latest and greatest guidelines, the best contemporary cutting-edge quality. And when you do that time and time again over years with our EMS partners as well, that's how we got recognized. And Mount St. Mary's is getting ready for our Joint Commission accreditation. We're New York State accredited, but we'll have the Joint Commission very shortly as well.
That's just fabulous. In the last closing 45 seconds, how's the construction at the Lockport campus going?
It's coming along great. Foundations are in. Access roads are in. The pillars are in for the steel. Steel should arrive at the end of next week. So you're going to start seeing the thing really come out of the ground beginning of next week, the first week in August.
Great. And so we can assure our local listeners that the care that they're going to receive at this new facility in conjunction with Mount St. Mary's and Catholic Health is going to be the latest and the greatest and probably and better care than they've ever received in their lives.
Absolutely, Eric.
All right. Thank you so much, CJ. And Susan, we appreciate you joining us so much here on WLVL Ask the Pro. We hope that we can speak with you again in the very, very near future. And until we do, you have a glorious day and take care.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Very good.